Normalcy here. At 1:35 in the morning, a delayed edition of The Voice of Long Island. I'm Eric Orley. And I don't hear Mike Juhas. Why do you suppose that is? Every week for the past, several months, maybe 6-8 months, I've said, I'm Eric Orley, and Mike Juhas has always said, I'm Mike Juhas. Tonight he did not say it. The reason, folks, is that he's not here. Mike Juhas is in Connecticut, hopefully listening at this very moment. The only thing Mike left us is a recording of his voice.
Possibly.
Maybe not even that. Well, we'll be hopefully hearing from Mike a little bit later on up in Connecticut, where he's on assignment, doing some important... No, I cannot tell a lie. He is not on assignment. He is in Connecticut doing nothing else but going to a party, of all things. Yes, that's right. He's going to a party. He's missing the Voice of Long Island for a party in Connecticut. There. It's out. It's out in the open. I don't know what else to say. Maybe Mike has something to say.
I'm not so sure.
Neither am I. Well, one thing is for sure. The Yoshiaki Masuo show was a tremendous success downstairs in the Union, and I hope you all listened to it, had a good time in your radios if you weren't down there in the auditorium. One thing that has been perplexing me for a while, everybody on the radio station, everybody in the street, says his name a little bit differently. Now, I say Yoshiaki Masuo. I'm going to see if I'm right, because there's only one person who really knows.
Hi, friends. This is Yoshiaki Masuo. I love WSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM because they play my music.
Well, I was close. Then again, maybe I was right. He didn't say Stony Brook all that well either. He should know his name. Well, the Radio Free Weekend has gotten off to a flying start with that tremendous concert, and we want to thank Yoshiaki, I hope I'm saying it right this time, for dropping by the studios early on this afternoon and talking to our listeners. Very exciting day here at the Brook. We have some more excitement coming your way tomorrow, or actually later on today, on Lister's program, the reggae show from 12 o'clock to 3:30. Saturday is a party, after all. We'll be announcing all sorts of record giveaways here on campus that you can participate in, so be sure to listen. Lister Hugh and Lowe and the reggae program later on. I know I'll be listening. I don't know about Mike Juhas.
One condition.
Oh, and what might that be? I guess he's not going to tell us. Well, it is Halloween, officially Halloween. We are now 108 minutes into it. It doesn't seem all that scary around here, but somewhere... somewhere out there, something strange is going on. Wait a minute. I was totally wrong. We're not 108 minutes into it. We're 98 minutes into it. So I can't really play that and be sincere. Oh, what the heck. This is a soundtrack from The Omen. It's about the scariest thing I could find around here. Everybody plays the theme from The Exorcist. Really sort of hits you, doesn't it?
That way.
What way can you put The Omen? Wow, what a scary piece to open up a Saturday morning with here on The Voice of Long Island. Well, since the show was cut into a little bit, we won't be getting to that interview we were promising you with Emperor Zahn. Let me just turn down the Omen a little bit. Now, Emperor Zahn will definitely be with us next week. He'll be our interesting character for next Friday night. And quite a guy he is, Emperor Zahn. I think you'll like him. We have a special Halloween story coming your way. We have got a brand new episode of The Tripods. We've got news at 5 to 2, and we've got a classic album side immediately following that at 2 o'clock. So stay tuned right where you are. And you're going to hear a really scary story in a little while, so hold on to your seats. I hope, Mike Juhas, wherever you are, that you're doing that.
Why not? Sounds good to me.
Well, do we ever have a treat for you right now? Mike Juhas is live on the line from somewhere in Connecticut. Mike, where are you?
I'm somewhere in Connecticut.
Oh, well, how about that? And are you enjoying yourself up there?
Oh, tremendously. Absolutely wonderful. They're all looking at me. They have guns pointed at me. They want me to tell you that I am actually enjoying myself.
Well, that's good to hear. And there's a note of honesty in your voice, too. So.
Oh, yes, honesty. Honesty is the best policy of today. Lincoln always used to say, right?
Did he? Yes, I guess he did.
One of them did, right?
You always learn something on radio, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, how is the weather all the way up there?
Oh, the weather is chilly up here. How's it down there?
Oh, it's 10 degrees out here. In fact, it's even...
50 Fahrenheit?
Yeah, 50 Fahrenheit. That's it, all right. Forecast seems to be calling for something like a low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow maybe becoming partly sunny, a little milder, high like around 55 to 60.
Standing right next to a parrot, you hear it?
Yeah, partly cloudy, mild tomorrow night, Sunday, low tomorrow night, 45 to 50, high Sunday, 60 to 65, that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
There's even a small craft advisory. It's remaining in effect over Long Island waters for rough seas and for those, east to northeasterly winds, 15 to 25 knots tonight.
You know
how it is, Mike.
It's really nice of you to do a weather forecast right while I'm calling you.
Oh, I can't put anything by you. You caught that, huh?
And you interrupted some beautiful music here, you know?
Well, we're playing some beautiful music here, Mike. We're playing The Omen.
That's what I'm saying. You interrupted it for me. That's very nice of you, actually.
Well, actually, I didn't interrupt it. We're just talking over it.
So it is in the background now.
No, it's over us. But not anymore.
Yeah. We're having a wonderful time here, actually.
We have a couple of fellows who are going to tell us a scary Halloween story in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, Dave and Ted?
Yeah, I think that's their names. They're outside now, and they've got what looks like a very scary story. So.
Well, I know that's a good story, that's for sure.
Oh, you know it?
Yeah, I've heard of them. I know that they have dynamic delivery. All that other stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to listen to them. While I put some records away, I'll make sure I listen to that story.
Well, what else do you have? You have the tripods coming up?
The tripods. I think everything's going to be delayed a little bit because of the concert. We'll probably be about 5 minutes behind on everything, but the story will be coming first, followed by the tripods, and then the news, and then the memorable album side.
Is what this week?
Well, we're going to tell the folks at 2 o'clock.
Is it a secret or something?
It's a secret. It has to do with Halloween, and I think it's something very, very appropriate.
Good. Well, I'm going to hang up now because I'm at a rest area. No, I'm not either. I'm still at this party, and I'm getting ready to leave, so...
Well, it's a long-distance call, and I don't want you to rack up the bill too much, you know?
That's for sure, especially since they don't realize that they're paying for it here at the party.
Well, you got a good month to get out, I think, before they find out.
You're absolutely right.
Okay, Mike, we'll see you back here next week. I guess you'll be doing your Thursday night show at 9 o'clock.
Yes, I will. And who knows, maybe if I get back in time, what is it now? Is it close to 2 o'clock?
I don't think you're going to make it back here from Connecticut in time.
No, not unless I fly over.
Unless you fly over or swim the Long Island Sound or something like that.
Yeah, I'll charter the ferry for one trip, one last final trip, you know.
But hey, if I don't see you, have a happy Halloween.
Yeah, you too.
And all our listeners wish you the same, I'm sure.
Well, thank you, listeners.
I will.
A listener.
Thank all the people at the party there. I don't know for what, but something.
They're all
sure.
Listening. There's a little boy here. He's about 2 years old. He's making a lot of noise, too.
Is it kind of late for a 2-year-old kid to be up?
Pardon me?
Is it kind of late for a 2-year-old kid to be up, especially on Halloween?
Well, you know, he's got a big day ahead of him tomorrow. He's going to go trick-or-treating.
He's going to be all talking ass.
Yeah, he is. That's for sure. Yeah. But Ian's a cute little kid, and he's running around. He's sitting on everybody's lap.
Oh, Dave and Ted are kind of glaring at me now, Mike. So.
Okay, well, listen, when I hang up, you're going to hear all sorts of strange things, so...
Oh, all sorts of disconnecting sounds, you mean?
Disconnecting sounds, yes.
All right, I look forward to hearing that, and I'll look forward to hearing your voice again next Friday night, next Thursday night, and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, good.
Bye.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah, you didn't get me that time, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Strange noises, he's right. And babbling tongues. Stay tuned for that story, folks.
Thank you. Being that it is actually Halloween, officially Halloween right now, we have a story for you.
And what a scary story we have for you tonight, boys and girls. In fact, you may want to consider whether or not you're going to turn the lights off tonight after you go to bed.
It's that scary, is it?
Oh, boy, is it ever. I just hope you'll be able to get through the really scary parts without whimpering.
I think I can do it.
Hold on to your seats, kids, and hear the story of the haunted house on the cliff.
As our story begins, we see Bobby and Timmy standing on the beach. They're talking all about the things a couple of 10-year-old kids talk about, baseball, math homework, that kind of thing. Suddenly, without knowing why, they both look at the top of the cliff they're standing in front of. For the first time, they see the house on the cliff that everybody's always talking about. For a moment, they stand in stunned silence. Then Bobby says, "That must be the place where all of the ghosts and goblins stay. I heard that nobody's ever been inside that house since 1937. That was when one of the biggest mass murderers of all time was finally captured. And that house is where he did all of his dirty work." "I wonder what that house looks like," said Timmy. They both gazed silently at the empty windows and the faded paint. "Do you want to go up there?" asked Bobby cautiously. "Sure," said Timmy. "I don't believe in ghosts, do you?" "Of course not, of course not," stammered Bobby. And so the two began climbing the cliff that leads to the haunted house.
And, of course, by climbing that cliff, Bobby and Timmy are unwittingly adding to one of the biggest problems facing mankind today, beach erosion. If present trends continue, half of Long Island will disappear under the ocean in 500 years. If you want to get involved and help stop beach erosion, contact your local erosion committee at 660-9950.
Well, now as the two get closer to the top of the cliff, they begin to hear some strange sounds. "That sounds like somebody moaning," said little Bobby with a tremor in his voice. "Nah," replied Timmy, "it's only the wind." After another minute, they reached the top of the cliff, and the magnificent haunted house stood before them. They started to approach it slowly, walking through the thick, overgrown underbrush.
"Now, hopefully your lawn won't ever become as tangled up and messy as the one in front of this haunted house, but if it does, you can count on your local odd jobs chapter to send a neighborhood teenager over to your house to clean things up for a reasonable price. You can reach them at 958-4216, weekdays from 9 to 5. Dave?"
"Thanks, Ted. Now comes the scary part. As the two walk towards the house, they see a very old front door swaying in the wind. And as they get closer, they can hear the door creaking ominously.
Most household creaks can easily be fixed with a small dab of a good lubricant. You can pick up such a lubricant as well as many other items that will prove both useful and beneficial at the local non-profit thrift shop run by Serbo-Croatian vegetarians. All proceeds go towards the establishment of a People's Republic on Eastern Long Island. Drop by or call them up at 480-2906.
Ted, don't get me wrong, I appreciate all the public service announcements you're giving for all these grassroots organizations, but don't forget, this is Halloween, and we're about to enter the haunted house.
Okay.
And I don't know about you, but I'd sure as heck like to see what's inside this old house. So could you please let me finish?
Well, maybe you should continue reading.
That's a good idea. Now, where was I?
Right over there.
Oh, yeah. They approach the creaking door and stand in front of it. Bobby says to Timmy, "Are you sure you want to go through with this? After all, nobody's been in there for over 40 years, and it's totally dark, and it might be kind of scary." Timmy looks at Bobby and says, "You're not backing out now, are you?" "Of course not," said Bobby determinedly, as he swings the door wide open. Before entering, the two take one last look at the ocean waves far below.
And in just a few years, that water could be polluted from nuclear waste. That is, unless you do something now to prevent your local electric company from building nuclear power plants. It's not too late. Write your congressman, call the president, and join the Coalition for Safe Progress.
All right, Ted. Now you're going too far. Not only are you totally destroying this Halloween story with your crazy announcements, but you're using political propaganda to do it.
Propaganda?
This has got to stop.
Nuclear power is an issue. It concerns all of us.
Yeah, I know, but the only issue that concerns me is getting this story read. And you're making it awfully difficult.
Well, I'm merely trying to ensure that the Bobbies and Timmys of the future won't be contaminated with radiation. I'd hoped you'd take more of an interest in that. But perhaps you should just read on.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. Bobby and Timmy step inside the old haunted house. Their hearts are in their mouths. but they continue to walk straight ahead without stopping. They finally come to a huge oak wood door that leads into a totally different section of the house. Bobby puts his trembling hand on the knob and slowly begins to turn it. Suddenly, from behind the door, they hear a loud scream.
If you have emotional problems, sometimes all you need is a person to talk to. The local crisis center is trained to deal with your problems. They're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can call them at 450-1212.
You've just destroyed the climax of this entire story with another one of your stupid reminders. Why can't you just clam up and let us finish the story?
These announcements are of interest to everyone, Dave. I suggest you stop displaying your ignorance to the listeners and be a little more open-minded.
Look, Ted, I've been as open-minded as I could possibly be. I've reached my saturation level.
Well, I'm sure the kids don't want to hear about your saturation level, Dave. Why don't you just continue?
All right. Well, with one swift move, Bobby and Timmy throw open the door, and standing before them...
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave. We seem to be out of time.
Well, you did it again, Ted.
Gosh, you know, it's too bad you spent so much time complaining. We might have been able to make it through that story today.
Look, I'm tired, I'm exasperated, I'm leaving. I can't take it anymore.
Well, it looks like Dave's not in a very good mood tonight, boys and girls. But you go on out and have a happy Halloween anyway. And watch out for those haunted houses. Bye-bye.
Dave, are you angry or something?
listening to songs of earth, water, fire, and sky, music of the American Indian. Right now we're listening to the Cherokees, what they call a stomp dance. And in just a moment, we'll be getting to the next episode of the Tripod Family. So stay right where you are in WUSB, Stony Brook. I agree wholeheartedly. Only if you reverse the charges. Nope. Radio Free Long Island, in dissertation with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. Well, I left Kathy and Howard last week. They were in France, and now they're on a train heading to Nice. And as we join them, we hear...
I sure hope we can find that statue, Kathy. I'd hate to return home to Long Island empty-handed.
Hey, it's not going to be easy, you know, Howard. There's only one of them left in the entire world.
Oof.
And the only thing we know is that it's located somewhere in the city of Nice.
Yeah. Well, that's Nice, Kathy.
What?
Nice. The city's called Nice. It's spelled the same way as the word nice, but they pronounce it Nice over here.
Oh, well. I hope it's Nice town. I mean, a nice town.
Yeah, I've heard some pretty good things about it.
Yeah, Nice things about it.
It's also a very big town. Now, are you sure you want to go through with this, Kathy? I mean, it's going to be next to impossible to find that statue.
Yes, I know.
I mean, just because you broke Charlie's statue doesn't mean we have to break our backs trying to find a replacement.
Yeah, I know, Howard, but isn't it kind of exciting knowing that we're going to be on an important mission?
I guess so.
Speeding across a foreign land going 150 miles an hour in search of a precious statue?
All right, now, Kathy, let's not get carried away with this thing.
Yeah, oh, come on, Howard. Where's your sense of adventure?
I think it's back on Long Island.
This train in itself is enough to inspire anyone. It looks like something out of an Agatha Christie movie.
Oh, yes. You mean the Montauk Express. I mean the Orient Express.
are you sure you don't mean the Midnight Express?
No.
With Billy Hayes?
No, you're thinking of another film, Kathy. I think the Midnight Express was in Turkey, wasn't it?
Either that or in Greece.
Hmm, no. One of those places.
Well, in any event, I feel as if I'm in one of those detective films.
I feel like I'm in an airplane. Look at that. I've never seen anything move so fast before. Everything's a blur out there.
Yeah, I think we're going around 175 mile an hour. But did you know that France has the fastest trains in the world?
Well, they're certainly faster than the ones in Long Island, don't you think?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Howard, look. Talk about mysterious strangers. That man at the other end of the train, he's been watching us ever since we got on board. And now he's walking towards us.
Oh, really? Should I turn around?
No, don't turn around. That's the number one rule in any film. Don't let a mysterious stranger who's watching you know that you're aware of the fact that he's watching you.
Oh. Well, then what should I do?
Here's a newspaper. You can read it.
It's in French, Kathy. I don't know.
He doesn't know you don't know French. Here, look like you're reading it. He's getting closer. Oh, this is so exciting.
That's the kind of excitement I can do without, Kathy. But, oh, yes. Can I help you, mister?
Excuse me, comrade. I could not help overhearing that you and your wife are in search of a particular statue in Nice.
Well, yes, we are, actually. We must have been talking pretty loud for you to hear us all the way over there.
The statue for which you are in need would not happen to be one of Charles de Gaulle, made by the famous Chinese statue maker Wally Truberg.
Oh.
Wheat?
Why, yes. That's the most extraordinary of all coincidences. Isn't it, Kathy?
Yeah, yeah. Let's see if it can help us, Howard.
Yes. Yes, of course. Do you know something about the statue, sir? Can you help us find it?
Well, that depends. I might, and I might not.
What does that mean, Kathy?
It's your cue, Howard.
My what?
Your cue. Now, you have to say something that will get him to help you.
Oh, I see. My wife and I would appreciate it very much if you would tell us where the statue...
No, Howard. No. That's not how you do it.
What? I don't understand.
Look, if you are Maddox, do you get this person to change his mind by flashing a wad of bills in his face? That usually works.
But I don't have a wad of bills, Kathy.
Oh, Howard, can't you do anything right?
And so Howard and Kathy continue their quest across France for the missing statue. Where will it lead them, and what will happen? You want to tune in next week when you'll once again hear me say, Radio Free Long Island, in coordination with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod family. For Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms, this is Don Topeka.
The buxom breasts a full burden, clinging passionately to Krishna, a cowgirl now sings the song of exalted love. Into the god's face, into those eyes made restless and liquid with love at a caressing touch, another gazes in fondest girlish ecstasy. With eager amorous hand by the bank of the Yamuna River, in the reed hut where he is gone, another draws him to her by his tunic. To another fair one, carried away by delight in the pastoral dance, Krishna now plays on his flute, and the palm of his hand beats time, joins the chinking music of his many bracelets to the pipe's sweet notes. One he kisses, one he embraces, another fair fondler he strokes.
Why, certainly.
Watches the third one smile. Then after a fourth, he runs. So he disports himself among these young girls, eager for pleasure.
I suppose so.
The alluring spell is on all of them. Tender his limbs, and dark like a lotus flower leaf.
I'm uncommitted on that issue.
Love's joy streams from them.
Yes.
Madly the fair ones kiss him, limb by limb, all over.
Yep.
So be it. Well, we heard some Indian music after the tripods. What was that? That was Krishna and the Lovely Cowgirls. And quite a story that was. It comes from an album called The Perfumed Garden. It's available on Pulsar Records. Very old-looking looking edition here that we found in the back room. We have some really, really weird stuff back there. You have to call us up and ask us about it. We can find some pretty interesting things. Our number is 246-7901. This is the Voice of Long Island. I'm Eric Corley without Mike Juhas. Mike is here on tape in some places, aren't you, Mike?
Gosh, no.
Oh, well, maybe he's not here. In real life, he's up in Connecticut for an important party that I understand took place there. He will be back next week at the usual time, which is 12:02, Saturday morning, Friday night. And now it's time, about 16 minutes late, but it's time for the 1:55 news at 2:12 in the morning. A published report says Japanese scientists in World War II used Americans and other prisoners of war in germ warfare experiments, and the report says U.S. officials granted war crimes immunity after the war to the Japanese scientists in exchange for the data that was compiled. Author John Powell quotes government documents as saying the Americans either died during the experiments or were executed when they had become what he calls physical wrecks. Powell's report appears in the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists. Vice President Bush says European anti-war demonstrators have fallen for Soviet propaganda about the arms race. At the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Bush said Friday that the European protesters may believe the Russians when they say the world has more to fear from America than from the Soviet Union. Bush himself drew a demonstration in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Some 3,000 people turned out to protest Reagan administration policies. And from a prison in Pennsylvania, there's word that a two-day siege may be nearing an end. A spokesman for the state facility in Greaterford says means of surrender are being discussed with a group of inmates holding more than 36 hostages, and he says prison officials are considering a set of undisclosed demands. 4 armed convicts failed in an escape attempt Wednesday night, and they wound up taking 38 hostages in the process. Well, electricity, conditioned air, gases, and propellants have begun flowing into the Space Shuttle Columbia as NASA has started the countdown for the craft's second mission. Rain Friday at the Kennedy Space Center at Cape Canaveral did not prevent the 5-day countdown from beginning on schedule at 1 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. A call to stations at the launch pad set into motion a sequence of tasks designed to climax in a launch Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern Time. Also failing to hold up the countdown was a small dent discovered in a line that carries flammable hydrogen to one of the shuttle's main engines. NASA officials said the dent was not a problem. Should launch preparations fall behind before Wednesday, there are 6 scheduled holds, which provide make-up time. The 5-day-long flight, scheduled to begin Wednesday, marks the first time one spacecraft has been sent into space twice. Checking out some basketball scores, the Knicks defeated the Nets 103-99. A few other scores, Philadelphia 128, Cleveland 104, Indiana 96, Chicago 94, Boston over Washington 124-100. Milwaukee went down to defeat at the hands of the Detroit Pistons 118-113. San Antonio Spurs over the Kansas City Kings 113-102. Utah over Dallas 105-89. Golden State got kind of trounced by Denver 134-121. It was Portland over Phoenix 103-95. And in the third period, Houston is leading Los Angeles 78-75. Currently 10 degrees Celsius here in Stony Brook. That's 50 on the Fahrenheit scale. And the weather forecast calls for temperatures to be getting down to around 40, 45 tonight. Tomorrow becoming partly sunny, a little milder. High tomorrow 55-60. Partly cloudy, mild tomorrow night and Sunday. Low tomorrow night 45-50. And the high Sunday all the way up to 60, maybe 65. If you're out on a boat, watch it. Small craft advisory remains in effect over Long Island waters for rough seas. Once again, 10 degrees Celsius, 50 degrees Fahrenheit here in Stony Brook. It's now 2:15, and this Halloween morning, we want to make a very special, memorable album dedication. I'd like to dedicate this one to Mike, who's over on the other side of the Long Island Sound tonight. And I hope he's driving in his car, in fact. I think this is something really intense to listen to as you drive around. Actually, I've said that for the last 4 or 5 weeks, that whatever we play as the memorable album side is great to listen to when you're in a car. But this especially, it's an album that I'm certain under 10 stations, let's say single-digit number of stations, has played an entire side of this album. Few stations have played a single song from this album. Many stations know about this album. Need I say more? It's on Rounder Records. The title of the album is Philosophy of the World, and it comes from none other than...
No way.
Yeah, yeah, it comes from none other than the Shags.
I'll pay you through and go.
No comment. Do it in Fisher's Island that way, so can we.
Sometimes I feel funny and rather happy and sad.
They should fire you.
What should I do? What should I do? Tell me, what should I do? He's a sad boy, he's a bad boy. He never gives me any joy. Tell me, what should I do? He's a goose-faced, he's a disgrace. He never wins a race. Tell me, what should I do? Should I tell him goodbye? Should I tell him where to? Should I tell him I know he lies? Won't someone tell me what to do? What should I do? What should I do? Tell me, what?
Never in a million years. Never. I don't...
Over me and you.
There it is.
You're crazy.
Hey, there it is. The Shags, Philosophy of the World, Side 2. We heard Things I Wonder, Sweet Thing, It's Halloween, Why Do I Feel, What Should I Do? And finally, We Have a Savior. For your information, Betty Helen and Dorothy Wiggin are the Shags. Their sisters, members of a large family, where mutual respect and love for each other is at an unbelievable high. They study and practice together, encouraged and helped by those around them. Betty, Helen, and Dorothy live in a small town in New Hampshire in an atmosphere which has encouraged them to develop their music unaffected by outside influences. They are happy people that love what they are doing. They do it because they love it. And this album is dedicated to Mrs. Doris Colbath. Yeah, special thanks to Kathy and Bob Olive, Gene Silbalkin, Ernest Hadzis, Charles Nuttings, Ben, oh boy, Swyzienski. As close as I can come, Ben, sorry. Francis Frazier, the Exeter Newsletter, Lawrence Taylor, the whole town of Fremont, New Hampshire, and especially Uncle Freddy. Extra special thanks to Mississippi Hal Wilson for making this album possible. And that is the Shags. Those are the Shags, excuse me. So if you want to hear them on your commercial radio stations, by all means, call them up and demand that they play them. They're not played on commercial radio. I don't know if you folks know that, but the Shags just don't get the same amount of airplay as other groups like, say, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, or groups like that that you've probably heard of. They get more airplay, and that's not fair. And don't you agree, Mike?
Beats me.
Well, that's a cop-out. A couple of guys, though, who never cop-out.
In 1956, he recorded Green Door, a rock and roll song that reached number one on the charts and brought him fame. Today, Jim Lowe is still involved with music as a big band disc jockey on New York radio. He's also known as the King of Trivia for an encyclopedic knowledge of movies and plays. Lowe, a summer and weekend resident of East Hampton, is the subject of a personality profile on the November Village Common.
Join Charlie Backfish and Walt Scratch as the November 1st edition of the Village Common also visits Molaski's Poultry Farm in Calverton for a pre-Thanksgiving look at the life and death of turkeys. The famous Three Village Inn contributes a recipe for holiday cooking, and Al Oikel of the University Relations Office at Stony Brook previews upcoming events on campus. That's the Village Common, Sunday, November 1st at 12 noon on WUSB Stony Brook.
And the Village Common comes your way the first Sunday of every month at 12 noon.
Next on the Odyssey of Homer, a storm is set against our hero by a sea god.
I can't stop him, but I can still give him a full cup of trouble.
Don't miss episode 3 of The Odyssey of Homer.
The Odyssey of Homer can be heard Sundays at 6 on USB. Sorry about that. All right, 2:38 here in the morning on a Saturday. Rob Zizer will be coming your way starting at 3 o'clock. Until then, though, we're going to do a couple of more crazy things. We have right here an album called Constellations and Interferences, and it's kind of Halloweenish type music with organs and things like that. This was composed in 1959. It's called Constellations 2 for organ sounds. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to have a special Halloween edition of Bunky and Spunky. So don't go anywhere. Not if you know it's good for you.
better know that. I knew I'd tell you.
Hi there, kids. This is Spunky and Spunky here with a special Halloween message for all you little goblins out there.
Now, not everyone's a good citizen like us or Mr. Mike. Some people might try to hurt you. For instance, folks like to hand out apples to trick-or-treaters, but don't accept any black ones that tick. They could go off.
And if you get any little white pills with crosses on them, bring them down to the station here right away. That goes for any dangerous drugs, too. The gang here has lots of experience with that sort of thing.
Among the bad stuff that mean people might give you is pufferfish toxin. How can you detect this colorless, odorless poison? Well, a victim of pufferfish toxin will gag and rattle and turn blue and collapse. But don't test the stuff out on your kid brother. Mom will get mad. Use some kid for another neighborhood.
Same thing goes for pranks, kids. Don't do anything we wouldn't do. Don't put blasting caps in folks' mailboxes, and don't go digging up the neighbor's cesspools, and especially don't vandalize Mr. Mike's spanking brand new car.
So if you follow all the rules, you'll have both a safe and a happy Halloween.
Woo!
Rattle, rattle, rattle.
And don't you forget it. Spunky and Spunky, only on the Voice of Long Island.
Still confused about New York State's property tax mess? Are you a Brookhaven homeowner concerned with fair and equitable assessment for your property? I'm Mike Markowitz for the Public Interest Radio Show. This Monday night at 6 p.m. over WUSB, my guest will be Robert Gottlieb, a local attorney and expert on the property tax issue. We will look at the current tax situation, comment on the recent NYPERG tax study of Brookhaven Town, and outline what's been happening in the state legislature. Join us for Property Tax Continued this Monday at 6 p.m. on The Public Interest.
And you can hear The Public Interest every Monday at 6 o'clock on USB.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. Or a bad witch? Who, me? I'm not a witch at all. I'm Dorothy Gale from Kansas. Oh. What was that?
The Munchkins. They're laughing because I am a witch. I'm Glinda, the Witch of the North.
You are? Oh, I beg your pardon, but I've never heard of a beautiful witch before. But if you please, what are Munchkins?
The little people who live in this land, it's Munchkin Land, and you are their national heroine, my dear. It's all right. You may all come out and thank her. Come out, wherever you are, and meet the young lady who fell from a star. She fell from the sky, she fell very far, and the Kansas, she says, is the name of the star.
Kansas, she says, is the name of the star.
She brings you good news, or haven't you heard, when she fell out of Kansas, a miracle occurred.
Was no miracle. What happened was just this. The wind began to switch, the house to pitch, and suddenly the hinges started to unhitch. Just then, the witch, to satisfy an itch, went flying on her broomstick, thumbing for a hitch.
And oh, what happened then was rich.
The house began to pitch, and the kitchen took a hitch. It ran around the wicked witch in the middle of a ditch.
Of independence for all the Munchkins and their descendants. If any, yes, let the joyous news be spread. The wicked old witch at last is dead.
Ding dong, the wicked dead, wicked witch, wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead.
She was dead.
That was her sister, the Wicked Witch of the East. This is the Wicked Witch of the West. She's worse than the other one.
Who killed my sister? Who killed the Witch of the East? Was it you?
No. No, it was an accident. I didn't mean to kill anybody.
Well, my little pretty, I can cause accidents too.
Oh, rubbish. You have no power here. Be gone before somebody drops the house on you.
Very well. I'll bide my time. But just try to stay out of my way. Just try. I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Haven't a foggy.
the dictionary.
Call yourself human. If I knew the answer to that question, I wouldn't be on tape. I like that idea. No way in heck. Possibly. You're nuts. I'm not so sure.
Well, one thing we are sure about is that our time has run out. A lot faster than it usually does. We only did about half a show tonight because of the fabulous concert by Yoshiaki Masuo. Quite a memorable event here at Stony Brook. Well, we'll be back next week at our usual time, 12.02 a.m. in the morning, on a Saturday or Friday night, however you might want to put it. Mike Juhas will be back from Connecticut, and he won't anymore be on tape.
You can't say that on the air.
Sure I can. I just did. There.
On one condition.
And we'll stop all this silliness and get back to real life next week. We'll have some more tripods for you. We will have that interview with the Emperor Zahn, which was scheduled for this week. We'll be done next week. And it's a really interesting subject. So you want to tune in to the Voice of Long Island. I hope you'll be there, Mike.
I have just two words for that. Impossible.
Why don't you say something positive for a change, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
That's close enough.
Sure.
You're getting closer.
Absolutely.
I'm Eric Corley. I'll see you next week. Mike Juhas. Well, just maybe he'll see you next week.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. We'll see. Take care.
Standing still. WUSB, Stony Brook.
You are